Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023. It's time for the Border Patrol Fast Break. Let's start with Kansas. Shreya Slada from the Kansas City Star joins us. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Did you happen to go to the Wheel with Travis Kelce to eat pizza this week?
I did not. I wish I did, though.
Right.
I thought that was a lot of fun and chaos.
I think we all wish that we did at some point eat pizza with Travis Kelce. Right, Nate?
Oh, I would love to eat pizza with Travis Kelce anywhere, but especially Wheel Pizza. Have you had a bite of Wheel Pizza yet since you've been on the beat, Shreyas?
I have not. What? I didn't realize it's a staple. Definitely got to check it out now.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you, Nate has a furious look on his face that you haven't been there yet.
Yeah, we got to get that corrected, man. If you're going to be on the beat, you got to know what's going on campus. So next week, I expect to have a one-bite pizza review from you. From Wheel Pizza, does that sound like a deal?
I got you.
Okay. Let's get to the actual basketball here. The Jayhawks get a win against Kansas State, but they also suffered a couple of injuries. Bobby Pettiford and Kevin McCullough each got banged up during the course of that game. Where do they stand from a health standpoint going into this big game at Iowa State?
Absolutely. From what Self said, they are most likely not practicing yesterday, but they should be good to go come Saturday, which I think is pretty big that, you know, obviously it's just a little bit of nicks and bruises, but it's more of pain management than something that's a long-term concern, it seems like.
So, and that's important, I think, because Kevin McCullough went through a tough shooting stretch for a little bit that was coincided. I don't think it was coincidental. It happened at the same time that Kansas lost three games in a row. He's kind of reasserted himself as at least some sort of an offensive weapon for the Jayhawks, and they've won two big games back-to-back. The bench was better against K-State. The ancillary scorers outside of Wilson and Dick were better against K-State. How sustainable is that for Kansas as they go forward this year?
I think a lot of the ancillary scoring is just depending on, you know, mindset, I feel like. If you notice in the K-State game, DeJuan and Kevin were really aggressive. I think probably the most aggressive I've seen them play both at the same time in quite some time. And it seemed like, you know, Bill had kind of said, hey, you know, they're going to go give you guys the opportunity to be open. Kevin, DeJuan, go out there and make the most of it. And it's not like they shot the ball amazingly well, but it kind of opened up the entire floor for guys like Jalen and Grady and KJ, who are kind of the, you know, go-to scorers on the team. And it kind of forced K-State to get into foul trouble a little bit. You know, and Kevin McCullough really lived the line. I mean, he didn't shoot particularly well. He had those two threes, which are big. But I think he had a rough shooting game. But I was super impressed by his ability to kind of go out there and force foul trouble on K-State, get some points, the good old-fashioned way on the charity stripe. DeJuan was very aggressive from the get-go. He was not hesitant. He was quick in taking shots, and I came away super impressed. And the bench seems like it's coming along a little bit. They played better in the Kentucky game. It seems like they found potentially, their big off the bench in Ernest Udo, who does a little bit of everything on the court between vertical spacing, the lob that he offers, and just setting hard screens that create opportunities for the Jayhawks.
And the other part of that bench is that continuous search for big man depth. Where do we stand right now in terms of that rotation?
I think right now, with Zubi kind of out for the next couple of weeks with a ankle sprain, it's looking like Ernest is going to be the first big off the bench. That's what Self said, and that's kind of what I expected. Zach will probably come in depending on if Ernest has foul trouble. I believe last game he had 4 fouls in 10 minutes, so Zach came in and played probably as well as he's played all year. And so those two guys will probably battle out for the minutes with Ernest having first preference depending on how many fouls he gives up. And I've been super impressed with, you know, the bench bigs. You know, in that K-State game, they offered 16 points and 12 rebounds. You don't really see that out of the big possession much from Kansas, so I think that's a positive sign.
Okay, so now they get ready to go to Hilton Coliseum, and where, by the way, you can get yourself a walking taco, which Marco informs me is the only place in college basketball where you can get one of those. But
or Costco.
or apparently any Quick Trip. Iowa State, Kansas played a really close game at Allen Fieldhouse early on in conference play. The Jayhawks won it 62-60. Iowa State got a look at a three-pointer. It wasn't a great one, but a chance to win the game at the very end. What do we take from that first go-round that maybe is relevant as we get ready for this game tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we look at that game and you see that it's going to be a battle. I think Iowa State comes in, I think they've lost 4 of 6. They're reeling a little bit. They haven't been looking as strong as they did at the start of the season. They're a really great defensive team that we saw in that first game. They forced turnovers with their guards. They played with a lot of pressure. And that environment at Iowa State, from everything I've heard, is second to none. You know, as a road environment, it's up there with Allen Fieldhouse, from a lot of people have told me. And I think that will definitely play a big factor with, you know, just the Jayhawks. But it seems like they've won 7 straight against the Cyclones. So historically, they've been pretty good as of late.
So what do you think happens tomorrow in Ames?
I think the Jayhawks come with a victory. I think Kansas is slowly starting to figure out a lot of its issues. As long as Kevin McCullough is healthy, it gives them, you know, the opportunity to continue to play great defense. And, you know, I've been super impressed with just they've kind of figured out that they need scoring around Jalen Wilson. They can't let him score 38 and win games, and they lost that K-State game. And I think if DeJuan Harris comes out aggressive like he did against K-State, he's, you know, kind of more of a shooter than he usually is, it sets the tone for the rest of the team, and I think it kind of just they play with better energy. So I think they come out of there with maybe like a 5-6-point victory, and, you know, they continue their conference streak of 2 games and counting.
Okay, Nate, tell him where to go when he's on the road up in Ames.
Well, Hickory Park.
That's where you...
Yeah, that's the spot.
That's where he told me to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the spot. Yeah, that's the spot. You get yourself some barbecue, get some ice cream, save some room for ice cream. They got good ice cream. Yeah, it's a solid spot.
So
that's, okay, I'll check it out. I've heard good things.
Yeah, Hickory Park, there you go. Okay, and if it's bad, then it's Nate's fault.
Right.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you for joining us. Now, let's check in with a man that they call Mr. Brightside, Gabe DeArmond.
No, sorry.
Hi, Gabe, how are you?
Am I supposed to start chanting now?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Sing and then chant. All
Gabe?
Of it.
I mean, it'd be a good way to not be back on in a couple of Fridays,
Or to be on every day.
Yep.
One of the two, yeah.
Gabe, are you demanding that Desiree Reed Francois ban Mr. Brightside from being played at Mizzou Arena?
Yeah, she certainly seems to have discouraged it so far, right? I enjoy how, like, the cameras at every game now seem to pan to the student section when they know what's coming, and then they cut it off like 2 seconds later, like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Sounds good.
You know, the thing about it is there's no possible song it's not like they could sing it to another song. If they just stop playing that song, then the students will stop chanting it, right?
Absolutely. This is college sports. This is not supposed to be fun. Rivalries are not supposed to be involved. You should never admit you hate another team. You know, we should all just sing Kumbaya and get along.
Right. It was very, very, very loud and clear from the TV broadcast against LSU, and then they turned the song off, and the kids kept singing without the music.
We still know the words.
And there was and very funny.
Like on a semi-serious note, I mean, this is the atmosphere Missouri fans have been begging for,
right.
frankly,
yes.
for here, right? I mean, that Mizzou Arena, when it's like that, is a fun place to be and a tough place to play. That's what you want.
Stop making this difficult for the opponents, kids. So, I'm with you.
Neutral to positive, Stephen. Neutral to positive.
That's right. No, I'm with you. Let them have fun and let them enjoy going to basketball games, because for many it's a new experience. So, you know, and let's get to the actual product. Man, I know it was against LSU, but 3-point shooting, incredible. Kobe Brown continues to amaze with what he's turned into. What a terrific 3-point shooter he's become, and just let's just start there. I think that is such an interesting topic about, you know, how confident he is from beyond the arc and how he's developed in such a short time under Dennis Gates. What's that tell you about Gates and his staff?
Well, I mean, there were times last year, really all the time, when Kobe shot a three, I legitimately said Konzo should bench him every time he shoots a three. Like, he was a 23% 3-point shooter. There was almost never a time that was a good shot for Missouri. Now I haven't looked at the numbers in the last week or two, but he's well above 40%. And, you know, Gates has talked about, really since he took the job, he said, I've told guys I'm going to bench him if they don't take open shots. Like, this is what we want. And he said a lot of times the best shot you're going to get is 4 seconds into the shot clock. So I'm fine with him taking it. And it really is fun to watch. I mean, I wrote after the LSU game, and because I know I've experienced this, people who have covered just one or two Missouri games who haven't seen every game, they come down and they watch and they go, they take so many bad shots, but then they go in. And I said, yep, that's, I mean, if you're just watching one game, you think that's a bad shot, but the best shot in Des Moines Hodges' arsenal might be the 1-on-4, you know, 25-foot three-pointer on a fast break, because he makes it a lot. And Gates encourages these guys to play that way. He says, he has said often, you know, I'm going to let them play through their mistakes. And not a lot of coaches are like that. I mean, you see a lot of guys that really micromanage every possession from the sideline, and their point guard is constantly looking over as he crosses midcourt to find out, okay, what do we need to do here? And a kid makes him, I mean, how often did we talk about Xavier Pinson over 4 years would almost be playing looking at the bench because he knew if he made a mistake, he was going to go sit for 6 minutes.
That's true.
And I'm not saying, look, this way is working, so it's better, right? I'm not saying that Dennis Gates is, that style has to be everybody's style, but it's working for him and it's working for these kids, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
It's life is about balance. I mean, you got to have some balance to it all, but basketball is a sport of split second decision making and reactions. And I can't stand it when I see coaches micromanaging, because that's how you end up. That Missouri team the last couple of years was so hard to watch on offense. They just seemed paralyzed. And that's not how you play the game. And so to see players go out there and play with a free mind and an attacking spirit, it's, first of all, it's just more entertaining to watch for your fans, but it's more effective too, more often than not.
Yeah, and I think it was before the season I asked Gates to kind of describe how he described his style, and he gave one of the best answers. He said, my guys have complete freedom on offense and absolutely no freedom on defense. You know, which I think is that's a pretty cool description. And hey, it's working. It's hard to argue with anything he's done at this point. I mean, I think he's probably the SEC Coach of the Year. I don't think he's the National Coach of the Year. I think honestly, right now, that would probably be Jerome Tang. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but. But I think both of those guys are going to have their names in the conversation and get some votes.
And so, you know, another thing that's interesting in watching that game, and the conversation has gone from, you know, can Missouri make the tournament to what can Missouri do in the tournament? And John Sunville was talking about that during the broadcast. And while they were talking about it, I'm looking at who's on the floor. And at that point, it was Nick Honor, Kobe Brown, Mosley Hodge, and then it was Diarra. And I'm thinking now you see now that everyone's playing, you know, either Honor or East can you know run point. You got Diarra and Aiden Shaw that can give size and energy. But when you got Kobe Brown, Isaiah Mosley, and Hodge, and maybe to a lesser extent Golston, you can have three guys on the floor that at any time can get hot and carry the team offensively. Like when Hodge is hot, he's unconscious. We've seen Kobe Brown, what a terrific scorer he is, and now Isaiah Mosley. And that's what's exciting, I think, because you've got the point guard. Now you got a couple of guys with some size that can play their roles. But at any one time, you can have three legitimate scoring threats that makes Missouri very difficult to defend, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the definition of positionless basketball. They have five guys on the floor who at any given time are a threat to shoot a three-pointer and make it. I mean, Mo Diarra has made a handful. Aiden Shaw made a couple in a game recently. But, like, Noah Carter is, you know, most people think, hey, he's a three or a four. He's going to do most of his stuff down low. I mean, he hit three in a row to start that last game. Every guy on that team has the ability and the freedom to shoot. And then on the other end, I mean, they switch absolutely everything, right? And it really reminds me of that Frank Haith team that, you know, famously had Tim English guarding Jeff Withey in a game. And it causes you some problems, obviously, but it also causes the opponent a lot of problems. I mean, when you've got five guys and hey, you might get caught on a mismatch with Sean East guarding a power forward or something like that. And while that's not ideal, it also doesn't necessarily kill you because, I mean, pretty much other than Nick Honor and Mo Diarra, every guy on this team is like somewhere between 6'3 and 6'7. You know, they're all kind of interchangeable on both ends of the floor.
Okay, so they've won three in a row, so they're in the midst of an opportunity to put together a nice winning streak before they have to play at Tennessee. Up next is at Mississippi State. Then they play home against South Carolina. What about the chances of getting another road win this time against Mississippi State?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, Mississippi State they're not really very good. I think they're 2-7 in the league. They've had some struggles, but they just beat TCU not very long ago. It's on the road. Starkville's been a really tough place for Missouri to play. There's probably not going to be a lot of atmosphere, and it's a contrast with Tuesday night against LSU, I thought was kind of a game where all the pressure was on Missouri. I mean, you have to win that game. That's an awful loss. This one is the opposite, where a win, there's so much more upside to a win than there is downside if you go lose this game. If you lose this game, hey, it's a road league game. It's not that big a deal. I think this is kind of the difference. If Missouri goes and wins this game, there's a path to top four in the SEC, the double bye in the league tournament, maybe, you know, a five type seed, maybe even a four if you would go steal one in Knoxville or Auburn. If you lose this game, hey, you're still in the tournament. It's not a season crusher or anything like that, but you're also not probably going to get into that realm of, you know, top five seed or top four in the league.
So what you're going to tell you, you think they go down there and win?
I think so, because it's ultimately going to come down to if Missouri gets to 70 points, they're going to win. Not only because if Missouri's gotten to 70 points, they've won every time, but especially against a Mississippi State team that probably wants to play a game in the 50s. It's such a contrast to styles, and this team's shooting the ball so well and has a lot of confidence right now. I think they actually maybe do go down there and win, and then South Carolina at home next week. I mean, that's the theoretically easiest game on the conference schedule, and so there's a chance you're looking at a five-game win streak headed into next weekend.
Gabe, thanks for the time.
All right, guys, have a good one.
That's Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Now let's check in with Jay Heidrick.
Kansas State.
Jay, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing very well, and it's a big weekend, a big Saturday in Big 12 basketball, because as we talked about a little bit earlier, Kansas is at Iowa State, And Kansas State has their rematch against Texas. We all know what happened that first time around. They put up 116 points. But here's Texas. They have a game advantage over everyone else, and they go to Kansas State and to Kansas over the next couple of days with a chance to really solidify themselves as the best team. So let's just talk about Texas. What do you expect from them in this rematch after they, let's just be honest, they were embarrassed by K-State on their home floor?
Yeah, Texas is incredibly athletic. You know, it starts with Carr and Jabari Rice. They're going to come in. They're going to look to push the pace. They're going to attack the boards. It's going to be an up-and-down game like it did in Austin. I'm not predicting that they're going to, K-State's going to score 116 points again. But it's going to be up and down for sure. And I think K-State's really got to start focusing on defense. You know, I think they're first in the league in conference games, at least, in points scored per game, but they're last in the league in defense. And so when you're looking at areas where K-State can improve, as we go down the final stretch here, if they can start guarding a little better and keep their offensive production where it's at, I think they're going to be in the driver's seat. Personally, I'm really glad that we got Texas on the road early as opposed to later in the season, because they're playing much better now. They've won six out of their last eight. K-State got them right after the Chris Beard issue surfaced. And so I think that Texas is finding itself a little bit. But, you know, this K-State team's different than in years past. I have no problem matching this K-State team up against any team in the conference from a scoring standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, from the ability to play with anyone. And I think it's going to be a great game on Saturday. You know, we had a tough game in Allen Fieldhouse on Tuesday, but, you know, that's, as Coach Tang says, you know, what's next? It's 1-0 that no one's going to feel sorry for you, and you got to load up, and you got another top 10 team coming at you on Saturday.
When you say that that you think K-State needs to get a little bit better defensively, what aspects of the defense in particular do you think they need to improve upon?
Yeah, we give up a lot of easy buckets on losing our guy on our rotations. We do a lot of switching defensively. And when you play teams that move the ball well and interact and have a lot of good motion spacing, you know, it becomes a problem with losing your guy. You can give up layups and cuts and things like that. Our defensive rotations are a little slow at times as well, too. You saw that Tuesday in particular against Kansas, particularly the first half, just giving up open shots. And when you play teams that can shoot the ball and attack the basket, that puts a lot of pressure on you defensively. And you really got to be in the spot before you need to be there. And if you're late on your rotation, then you're creating imbalance, and all of a sudden you're chasing the ball. So driven into the paint, kicked out, and all of a sudden they're making one more pass. Now you're chasing. You're in a closeout situation. You've got to be able to keep the ball out of the paint to keep that from happening. If K-State can do a better job of keeping the ball in front of them, being better on the rotations and not losing their men, I think that they can really improve their defensive standpoint.
You could make the case, Jay, that this razor-thin race in the Big 12 between the top six teams, the K-State's in the best position of all, because they've already played at Kansas, at Baylor, at Iowa State, at TCU, and at Texas, the other five teams that are in the race. So, I mean, literally, they take care of business at home. They're in a great position to finish atop the conference. How confident should K-State fans and the team be about their schedule the second half of the season?
You know, as a fan, I look at it, and I agree with you, Nate. I think that getting Baylor and Texas on the road early and getting those two wins was huge for K-State. But, you know, from a practical standpoint, you got to look at it. It's you try to be 1-0 every day, like Coach Tank says, because, you know, Mike DeCourcy said it, I think, a couple weeks ago on your show, that, you know, it's going to be hard for any team to win on the road in the Big 12. You look at that Tech team, they're 1-7 in conference right now, and that is a dang good basketball team. The fact that they're 1-7 in the conference, I think, is indicative of how hard this league is. So, yeah, K-State's gotten, you know, a couple hard ones out of the way, with Kansas, Baylor, and Texas. But at the same time, too, going to Oklahoma is not going to be easy. Going to Tech's not going to be easy. And you got to be ready to play every – every night. And so just because you've gotten the hardest road games out of the way doesn't mean that your remaining road games aren't going to be hard.
So what's your prediction? Does K-State complete the season sweep of Texas on Saturday?
I think they will. I think K-State has done a really good job this year of rebounding and refocusing and not worrying about the next game or the last game and what's in front of us. And I think they see what they have in front of them and the opportunity. And like you said, Nate, they do have a path forward to win the conference. And I think they're going to come out and be focused. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I got the Cats probably, 83-80.
All right, Jay. Jay Heidrick talking K-State basketball. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Right, that is the Border Patrol Fast Break. Before we break, Marco, if that's your name.
It almost was Orlando or Lorenzo.
That would have been nice. I could have called you Lowe.
Ah, oh, man.
That would have been fun.
Call me Kez.
What's that?
Call me Kez, not Pez. Kez.
I want to mention to people that if you're going to Phoenix and you're looking for ticket packages or hotel travel packages in Phoenix, go to BullseyeEventGroup.com. And you can also get more information about the Players Tailgate hosted by Bobby Flay, the number one rated event on game day. I went to this event a few years ago in Miami, and it was awesome. 60-plus active NFL players, celebrity chefs, with all you can eat and drink for 4 hours leading up to the game. It's right across in the stadium to make your game day great. The Players Tailgate, hosted by Bobby Flay. He's there making food. He'll hand it to you. You can eat it. Antonio from Top Chef is also there. A bunch of celebrity chefs, if you like the cooking shows, and a whole bunch of active NFL players are there as you party and eat delicious food and drink for 4 hours leading up to the game right across from the stadium in Arizona. Again, to make your game day great, the Players Tailgate, hosted by Bobby Flay. For tickets, go to BullseyeEventGroup.com, and you can win tickets if you correctly answer Marco Marquez's trivia question of the day, which he has assured me is correct. I said, are you sure that's the answer? He goes, yeah, I Googled it.
I ran it past Stan, too.
Marco has Googled it.
And Nate.
Nate had no idea what you were talking about. This is your question. And so you ask it, and then the first person to call and give the correct answer will win tickets to the Players Tailgate. You got to get yourself to Arizona, and this is not to the gates, but this tailgate. Hell, this tailgate's worth going to Arizona. You want Bobby Flay just to hand you a delicious plate of food?
Yes.
Hell yes, you do.
But I don't have to go to Arizona to win this, right?
No. Well, what do you mean?
Huh?
You win it here, but then you have to be
there. Yeah, but in order to...
Don't confuse people, please. If you're like,
why are you stirring, man?
If you're not going to be in Arizona, this is no good to you.
You got to go to Arizona.
It's for people because yes, the Players Tailgate is right across from the stadium in Arizona.
It's in Arizona.
So if you're going to the game,
Phoenix,
this would be your tailgate. If you're just going, I know people that go out there and just celebrate and have all the fun and festivities and don't go to the game. The Players Tailgate, hosted by Bobby Flay, would be great for you. BullseyeEventGroup.com. So answer this question, 913-3810-810, and you can win two tickets to the Players Tailgate if you're smart. What's the question?
The Super Bowl has been played 3 times in Arizona prior to this upcoming one. Who are the 3 teams to win the Super Bowl in Arizona?
Okay. Who are the 3 teams to win the 3 Arizona Super Bowls? And what do they all have in common?
They all wore white jerseys.
Oh! I'm pissed off that the Chiefs are wearing red pants, by the way.
Why?
Because I like the all whites. Reminds me of my youth.
Maybe when they go win this Super Bowl, though, then you'll like the white on red.
I like them, but I like the all whites better. I like the all whites. You know? Makes me feel like I'm watching the Chiefs in my youth. But that's fine. They, you know, whatever
you wear. I like the
red
pants.
Whatever you wear. I'm a traditionalist. I like old school.
But didn't they wear white on red back in the Len Dawson days?
Right. I was not living.
I'm just saying, you know, that's old school. That's traditional.
You know, fine. That doesn't resonate with me as much.
Just think about how fast Patrick Mahomes' legs are going to look in those bright red pants running down the field.
I don't know that he's going to be running a lot.
But if you ask to, he will. We know that much. Mm-hmm. And if you ask to, he'll run faster than he's ever run before, even on a bum ankle, because that's the kind of guy he is.
Right.
No matter what kind of pants he's wearing. He's, you know what he's wearing? He's wearing his big boy pants. That's what he's doing.
See, that's what I like. Like a Koye with the clean whites.
Look at the size of those shoulder pads.
The size of the man.
Well, he was a big man.
Yeah. That's fine. White jerseys will do. We'll see who wins the tickets to the players' tailgate.
Hmm? How about gold end zone? You like that?
Sure, why not?
I love the gold end zone. I've ordered a case of yellow paint for my backyard so that I can paint the end zones yellow there after seeing that tip yesterday.
They should be wearing all whites.
What did you see yesterday? Sorry, I just jumped back in late.
Oh, boy. Did you get a winner?
I did.
Who won?
Paula.
Paula?
Paula won.
And she knows all the requirements, right?
Is she going to take MC Scat Cat to the party
with
her?
What'd she say? Was she happy?
I'm too young for that joke. What?
Was she excited?
No, she was very excited. No. She even, I had to give her the 10-second clock because she was making me wait for two more answers.
Mm-hmm. She was a little Google action there, maybe. That's all right.
She beat the clock.
Hey, congratulations, Paula.
No kidding. That's a great job, Paula. And again, if you want tickets, more information about all the events, bullseyeeventgroup.com. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John here with JR and JRWins.com. JR, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. People are fired up. And I know that they're going to be looking at you to help guide them to making the right picks for the big Super Bowl 57.
Absolutely no doubt about it. And I got to tell you, Steven, I am so pumped up. We've got the two best teams in the NFL that are going to be hammering it out for Super Bowl 57. And I know everybody listening to this interview could not be more excited about their team making it all the way. But guys, look. What I don't want you to do is start betting this game without the information that I've literally uncovered, and I have looked at every angle of this matchup. So I'm going to leave the point spread winner of the Super Bowl absolutely free on my recorded message. Early release. Get this in absolutely right now as early as possible because I'm telling you that the line, it is going to change slightly, but I want to lock it in now. So call up. Get the winner on the recorded message of the Super Bowl. Plus, I'm also leaving the winner of tomorrow's college basketball game between Texas and Kansas State. A great matchup. Obviously, no line at this moment, but I have an idea of what it will be. So we're leaving the predicted outcome of Texas-Kansas State on the same recording with the winner of the Super Bowl. Call this number, 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. Two winners, absolutely free on the recording. One college basketball taking place tomorrow. Big matchup, Kansas State against the Longhorns. And my predicted outcome on Super Bowl 57. You're going to get the point spread winner, guys, free of charge on the recording. Call now, 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. And, Steven, we're pumped up, man, because we're not just using the game side. We'll be having all kinds of fantastic prop bets that'll be taking place throughout the entirety of the Super Bowl. So, guys that get signed up with us, we're going to not only give you the college and pro basketball for 7 days, the lead up to the Super Bowl for $99, but we're also going to give you all of our picks, not just the game side that you're getting on the recorded message, but you get all the prop bets, the same game parlay, everything that we're going to be doing like last year, where we picked up nearly 20 units on Super Bowl 56. So check it out for yourself, guys. Call the number, get the free pick, get the winner in college basketball, and do yourself a favor and sign up for the $99. 800-499-3733 is the number to call.
All right, how about some of the listeners right now looking at this matchup on paper, two high-octane offenses, but also two defenses that can get after the quarterback. So are we looking at a more of a defensive struggle? Are you looking at a shootout? What about the total number here for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the number opened up at 49.5. It's already gone up a point. A lot of money came in early on the over. Looks like the public is split 50-50 on the matchup. There's really not a ton of money coming in on one side or the other, but the line still went up not only a full point, but the juice on the over is -115. The odds makers are obviously thinking that this game is going to go over the post to total, as we do. I don't think this is going to be all about the defense. And let's face it, Philadelphia's defense was right up there with San Francisco most of the year. That secondary is very tough to get through and a very hard team to run against. But let's face it, Kansas City, they've got the offense unlike any other team in the NFL. They know how to get through these D's. And I don't think either team is going to have any trouble scoring. I get the feeling that you're going to be looking at a game at halftime that can legitimately be in the high 30s, low 40s. So I'm telling you guys, lock it in early. The line's going to go to 51 by the time we get to kickoff, go over that 50.5. And lock it in now because I do think it's going higher.
And tell people again how they can get your help.
Guys, it's all about having an expert in your corner, and that's something that I'm going to offer down at jrwins.com and wagerpro.com. Having, you know, the insight to be able to beat the sports book, it is special. To be able to get on the best information and consistently make money betting sports, we make it fun. Call now. Let me show you what we're all about. I'm giving you the winner of Super Bowl 57. Kansas City, Philadelphia is free. Sitting on a 30-second recording, along with tomorrow's winner in college basketball, the predicted outcome of Kansas State taking on Texas. Guys, call the number and let's make money. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. Follow me on social media at Real Radio JR. Check out my website, jrwins.com. Call that number for the free pick, 800-499-3733. Guys, be safe, have fun, and more than anything, go out there and make some money.
That's JR with jrwins.com. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Nate was kicking around the office the other day. All bah humbug and dragging ass and everything else. And he said, man, I wish somehow I could get a football to commemorate the fantastic Chiefs win over the Bengals 23-20 on Sunday. And I said, Nate, what do you mean? You wish? How about we talk to Bob Ibach and we can get it done? And Nate goes, all right. And so now we got Bob Ibach on the phone. Bob, what's going on, Bobby?
Hey, Steven and Nate, nice to be with you. I guess I'm Houdini.
That's right.
Just rub the magic lantern and out I come, right?
you turned his frown upside down. Now Nate wants to know more about this football.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'll tell you what. It was a dramatic game, 23-20, and I was on pins and needles there right at the very end. But we've got something now for Chiefs fans. You're going to want to remember that game and also the big game coming up on February the 12th out in Arizona against Philadelphia for all the marbles. This football will also tie in with that.
What?
We're talking about a limited edition, full-size, officially licensed Super Bowl 57 football, which also salutes the AFC title game and the big win against the Bengals. I'll give out a toll-free number and a website in just a moment how you can get your hands on this. There's $119 for each football. It comes with a numbered certificate of authenticity. Only 5,000 of these will ever be made. We're about one-third of the way already sold out. So when I give out that phone number and website, you're going to want to hurry up and make sure you don't miss out on this opportunity. You'll get an individually numbered certificate of authenticity. A really cool part of the program, it's portion of the proceeds will also benefit the Chief's charity, the Metropolitan Organization to Counter Sexual Assault. They're involved with them once again, and a portion of the proceeds will be donated to that charity. Now, on the top panel of the football, everything is embossed on here, so it'll keep all the stats and the logos and the photographs pristine looking for years to come. Mm-hmm. You'll have a picture of Patrick Mahomes and his career highlights right there on that panel, right there in the center, along with the Chiefs championship history. The panel right below that has a recap of the entire 2022 season schedule with the opponents, the dates, and the scores listed in chronological order. It includes all the playoff games, and, of course, it'll be including the big game out in Arizona as well. And then the last panel is really a cool one because it has the official AFC title logo right there that they recently won against the Bengals and the Super Bowl logo in Roman numerals. So you get all that information on here according to what I've been told, and the Mahomes image is really, really something really cool. Here's the phone number to call to order these, but do it sooner than later. 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Or just go to nicosports.com. You spell it NIKCOsports.com. That's NIKCOsports.com or 1-800-345-2868. And guys, in closing, I just want to thank you folks, your station, and your great listeners. We've raised over $3.1 million for charities in the last 4 or 5 years, and I know you guys have been a big part of that.
And so, you know, Nate was walking around here, says, oh, you know, I can order whenever. They probably got an unlimited supply of these footballs. And I said, you got to be kidding me. There's a limited supply, right, Bob?
That's right. Only 5,000 made. You know, I get calls after the game is over, and they say, oh, I didn't get it ahead of time or whatever. Well, you know, reserve it now. Because also, when you get this, I've got the inside scoop. I think Mahomes is going to be made MVP of the NFL this year. And his photograph on here will really make this thing pop and appreciate in price down the road.
Well, we get Nate straightened out here. Now, do you got all your facts straightened
out? Yeah, man. I mean, I get it. I, you know,
finally,
he who hesitates is lost. Right?
Yeah,
that's
right. And listen, I know you don't fumble things, Nate. I've been told you've got really good hands.
Tremendous hands. He's known
ball security is one of the things.
Throughout this town, he's known for that. Bob, tell again people the phone number they can call to get their hands on this wonderful commemoration of the Chiefs' fantastic season.
Okay, it's 1-800-345-2868. 1-800-345-2868. $119 will snag you one of these. Just go to the website. You can see it there. It is beautiful. NICOsports.com. NIKCOsports.com. Guarantee, I have a man cave here where I live, and I've got people coming in and seeing some of the past products that we've done for the Chiefs, and they always say, wow, where did you get that football?
Right. Unbelievable. Bob, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Listen, you have a great weekend. We'll be checking back with you, and I can't wait for that game on the 12th.
That's right. Go Chiefs. You root for the Chiefs,
Go
Bob.
Chiefs.
All right, thank you, Bob. That's Bob Ibach. I told you there was a limited supply, and you said, oh, I'll just order whenever I want. No. You have to order quickly, said Bob. I don't know why you doubt
all right.
Bob Ibach.
Okay. Look, I'm learning as I go here.
Yeah.
Try to keep my hands on those balls.
How about that, Marco?
Huh?
Yeah. That's right. We talked to Tim Grenhard on the telephone from Florida after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.